the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Dhammini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness. In the practice of pure attention. In the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in wholesome submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all intentions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi savaha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are here to end suffering.
If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Shall we look at this morning? Jim.
I want to look at blessings in disguise.
Okay. Blessings in disguise.
I've been injured, and kind of a little in despair about it, and lots of story, and lots of openings for self-hate. Nothing particularly unusual. The unusual, or the part that feels like the blessing, is that for the first time, I truly get it that the greatest kindness and the greatest will be to take care of this bucket. You know, I forget that time passes. And that with that comes changes.
And the need for maintenance and taking care.
Yes. And so there's part of me that just thinks, well, okay, when this is well and truly healed, I'll be fine. I can just feel like I've always been. But that voice, that it's much quieter, it's much less believable this time, because this is one of a string physical things I've had to deal with in the last 4 or 5 years.
And does it feel like after that happens, do you kind of tend to go back to the same old thing?
I do. There'll be all kinds of commitment to not do that, all kinds of commitment to do the things that are going to make a difference, that are above and beyond. You know, part one of the stories is that I do take care of my body. And I guess on some level that's true. I guess if you were to compare things.
Like to maybe how it was a really long time ago.
Yeah. But I watch our esteemed guide take care of her body. And I don't even approach that level of commitment and care and kindness and whatever awareness.
And might we say that's a karmic orientation that is sort of pushing you in that direction?
Yes.
It's not, you're not choosing that. It's, in a way you could say, it's sort of being chosen for you because it's just a habitual karmic pattern that you were given.
Yes. Yeah. It's familiar, comfortable, light material. I hurt myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's really, really uncomfortable.
Uh-huh. Well, it reminds me of, you know, we have this kind of joke that we talk about sometimes about getting hit with a 2x4.
Oh, yeah.
We need something to get our attention.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so it's a 2x4, and if that doesn't work, it's a 2x6, and if it doesn't work, it's a 2x8.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's kind of like you said in the beginning, you know, there's a kindness in all of this and an opportunity in all of this, because, you know, obviously because of that karma that's there, this is what it's taking to get your attention.
Yeah.
And as you said, this for the first time ever, you think you really have gotten it, that there's a true need to take care of the body, and it sounds like there's a willingness to go along with that that's come up.
Yeah.
To do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And part of one of the stories is that in your terms, it shouldn't be taking so many whacks with increasingly larger boards. And that's just a story.
Yeah. Well, and part of the same old, same old. Too.
So I think that's all.
It's interesting to me as you listen how challenging that kind of same old is to get past. It's like a default setting or whatever. It's just, boy, it's just so, it's invisible, sort of.
Yeah.
But so powerful. You know, we just head back there without realizing over and over and over again. Even when they're like, as you're saying, there's a lot of evidence that that's not in your best interest, or it's not working. You know, I think we can all say that. You know, we all have our own kind of base level that we go back to. And it's always, you know, self-destructive and hurtful and unhelpful, and it takes us into suffering and all those kind of things. And, you know, I think for each of us, that's our kind of the cross we bear, to use an expression. You know, that's the thing that we have in front of us that we have to get past. And it's so much how we see ourselves and how it seems like life is that it's really, really difficult to get out of it enough to really make a conscious choice about it. And it sounds very much like that's the place that you're in now, is, you know, what's been happening is forcing you out of it in a way. You know, the pain of it, if nothing else, is forcing you out of it and forcing you to make a conscious choice about it instead of just kind of living out that default pattern.
Yeah. part of the scam of the karmic pattern is, well, for me, it's searching and seeking comfort, or
mm-hmm.
to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the scam is, once you're better, once the pain is gone, once you're free to move around as you wish, the reward is mm-hmm. relaxation and comfort.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reward. And in fact, that's the scam.
Yeah. That's very temporary.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to...
It's fine up until the next time.
Up until the next time, yeah. And that, you know, it's interesting because that kind of connection, I mean, it seems obvious, you know, when you kind of lay it out that way, but that's really hard to see from inside of it, you know, when we're identified with it. Because when we're in pain, it seems like that's all we see. And then we're, like, in the comfortable place, that seems like a completely real, forever sort of a thing. And you really have to disidentify from that karma to make the connection that the comfort is just, all that is the pathway to that pain happening.
Yeah, the comfort is another word for inertia, mm-hmm. for karma, mm-hmm. for stuck.
Yep.
For ignorance, mm-hmm. unconsciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, comforting unconscious are very close to really beginness. Little humble of karma over here.
Right. And very comfortable for ego.
Yeah.
It sounds like. Because you're sort of, it's got you comfortably in a place where it can, you know, mess things up as it always is trying to do. And then from outside of that, you make those connections, you see, well, what you see what that comfort is instead of what the story says that it is. And then that's a whole different place. That's a place that's from which a real choice can be made about it. Not that the karma won't have an incredible pull and stickiness to it, because that's just kind of the nature of it. But you know, the more, I'm kind of extrapolating yeah. what you're saying, but the more we really see it as it is, like you said, that voice is becoming softer and softer. The more that we're kind of living from a place where we're free of it and can make a choice for our true benefit, rather than just making a choice for suffering and unhappiness, and also pain and physical, whatever the opposite of physical well-being is.
Yeah, so one of the things that's really been helpful in practice lately is following our life leads.
Mm-hmm.
The guide said, if it shows up in your life, it's for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so there have been three or four things that my first response to has been no. That's not going to work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the awareness will be showed up in your life, follow your life leads.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are actually things that I'm doing and that I'm going to be doing that would be outside my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Outside my karma zone. that I'm looking forward to. That I feel a level of my excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking too. That sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, taking, because that, you know, life, you know, what I got as you said that is life is always leading out of karma.
Life is always leading out.
Out of karma.
Out of karma.
Yeah, follow where life leads, because that's where it's taking us. It's taking us to some other place than the old habits of suffering. And it's exciting, you know, especially as in, or another word, you know, empowering. To be able to choose outside of karma, and then sort of look forward to the reaction that will happen, and knowing that, you know, we're stronger than conditioning, and that, you know, we can make that free choice, especially with assistance, you know, with guidance and with the practice and kind of things coming through practice like letting life lead. There's a lot of assistance for that. Can folks hear okay with the fountain line? Yeah? Not so good up here?
Yeah.
Okay, Alex, okay, thanks, Albert.
Thank you.
Jen?
I've been looking at something that has a bunch of similar elements, it feels like. So it's interesting, because I was really wanted to look at it this morning, and it's something where I know there's no sort of answer to it, but mm-hmm. it's just fun to keep looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And even that feels fun, that it's fun.
That it's fun.
To look at it, yeah.
And that there's not an answer to it.
And that there's not an answer to it, mm-hmm. exactly. So actually, some of the elements that are similar is realizing more and more that I have my version of a push towards comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's around a really interesting shift that's happened for me, not volitionally, like I didn't set out to make the shift, but like I've kind of stopped, I mean not altogether, that sounds extreme, but I've stopped making to-do lists and checking things off.
Well, that's radical.
I know. Yeah, it kind of is.
It is, yeah. I mean, if that's what this person does,
and
the person stops doing
that. That is what this person does. And you know that whiteboard thing that I've talked about forever in my hermitage that I love and have loved forever? I just one day stopped putting the little marks on it, but I haven't erased it. And so all the elements of a, you know, the areas that I like to pay attention to every day are there. And so I look at them and I notice that it's all still going on, but there's no sort of scoring it. Mm-hmm. And it's just this really interesting thing where a part of me is really freaked out by all of it, in the sense of, I guess what it is, sort of the way that I would look at it, what I'm looking at is the difference between, like, kind of, who am I following? Because, you know, in that last conversation talking about where life leads, and I would say, actually, that was a conscious intention that I set for this year. I think it was part of my, you know, deepening practice action plan to really look at opening up to life leading. But what's interesting about it, and this is true of many intentions I set sort of at the beginning of this year, last fall, I never came up with a plan for them, which is very uncharacteristic. And it felt like because I couldn't find a place to plan them that didn't put an eye smack directly in charge of planning it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And I just didn't...
You didn't want to do that.
I didn't want to do it, although that makes it sound even sort of holy, and yeah. And even that wasn't really like, I don't want to do that. I just didn't do it.
Yeah, well, what I keep, the sense I'm getting from you is this whole thing is surprising you.
It is.
You just, this thing's happening, like, son of a gun, look at this. I don't know where this comes from. You didn't decide to do it. I mean, if you had decided to do it, and I think this is kind of a piece of what you're saying, you would have made the to-do list, you've been doing, you know, scoring and doing all those bad plans.
Yep.
But that's just, and it's not even, we can't even say it sounds like that's not what you want to do. It's just that that's not where life is going anymore for you.
Yeah, and it,
or at least right now.
And it feels like forever that's, and I've sort of known this on some level, but not known, quote, what to do about it, that that very process of making the list and checking things off keeps it, I'm putting my hand out in front of me, keeps what I actually want out here, because there's an eye in charge of making that happen. And I mean, it's the thing we always talk about. You have to give it everything you've got, knowing that the very thing you're doing is keeping you from it.
Right.
So it's sort of that process. Mm-hmm. And so what's so fascinating about it is, like, I keep being surprised by, so for example, another one that came through early this year was, you know, what would it be like to just spend the year sort of as a scientist of what makes a human happy? You know, what? So what leads towards happiness? What leads away from it? It's not trying to be happy, you know, but just sort of doing that. And again, no plan. Never went anywhere with it. Mm-hmm. And so the story would be, wow, I mean, you're just not doing anything.
Jeez, look at your ears going on the toilet.
Exactly. And then I realized, wow, I'm happier than I've been in a really long time. Mm-hmm. And that just keeps happening. All these intentions that are being set, and then I forget about them, and then they just happen.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? I mean, I'm getting this this kind of the image of, you know, whoever the I is, maybe that's been in charge of all that up until now, just kind of getting erased in the middle of it.
Yeah. And it's so funny because all I've ever known to do is for one I to try to erase the other I.
And that was just kind of happening, I think you said, apart from your volition.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting because even just talking about it is helpful because it feels like, you know, around the edges that sort of, I wouldn't even call it anxiety, but that's what wants to get started around it is like, now am I just like doing the equivalent of sitting on the couch and eating bonbons here? Mm-hmm. What's going on here?
The hard part is we can't know that.
I know, exactly.
So there's no security.
Exactly. But I guess that's why I started with it's fun that it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because there actually is a distinct lack of anxiety about that, because there's this sense of trusting the sincerity of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also been talking recently about spending a lot of time with the mentor, and so there's this sense of, okay, so if I'm wildly off track, sort of back to the 2x4, and I need to get hit by a 2x4, you know, I'm going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. I don't need to sort of get nervous about if I'm headed in a wrong direction, because, ouch, that's going to really hurt.
Yeah, you don't need to hit yourself with 2x4s along the way to prepare yourself for getting hit by 2x4s.
Yeah, try that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another thing I think that you're saying is that, or is implied in what you're saying, is, you know, as a scientist, you've got data. Mm-hmm. So it's not just this, it's not this amorphous, well, I mean, I truly don't know what's going on here.
Right.
I mean, you don't know what's going on here in that condition sort of way, but,
yeah.
You know, I hear you saying that, you know, you're spending time with a mentor, you're happier than you've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things are obviously happening.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's what we're going for,
mm-hmm.
but it does sort of suggest that that something is leading other than ego is.
Yeah. And it's, again, because there's sort of that, I guess, spirit of inquiry with it. Like, I checked in with the guide around the deepening practice action plan phenomenon, basically saying, because I really, you know, I sort of laid some elements out, and I really want to revisit it, and that sort of thing, and but it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Just not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the response, at least my interpretation of the response, was something around, kind of interesting, and, you know, it's not my experience that life demands us, you know, come on, sit down and do that plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe just the next time it occurs to you that you haven't done it, just create a little space for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so last night it occurred to me that I hadn't done it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wrote a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really fun. And it took a relatively short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you sort of this thing that would normally hang over my head, mm-hmm. I haven't been mm-hmm. having it hang over my head, and then it's sort of, there was the opening, and then I just worked on it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, would you say it's your experience that that life is in charge of that too, sort of, in the sense that, I'm predicting, as you're saying this, that that, you know, the plan or the checklist or the scoring everything is needed. It's kind of like what we talk about with the precepts. The precepts are needed for ego.
Mm-hmm.
It's needed when we need it.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't really need it so much when we don't need it. Or we might even say we need it where we need it.
Yeah.
But we don't really know it needed so much where we don't need it.
Yeah.
Because I hear there's a very clear intention in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just a very clear intention. And so that's a guide all in itself, without maybe needing so much of the particulars.
Yeah.
But maybe there's places where, you know, that kind of structure is really useful. And it's more, instead of just kind of putting all in that box,
mm-hmm.
maybe there's a kind of just letting life choose that, letting life kind of put what's needed there without really needing to understand it or whatever, just mm-hmm. kind of trusting that whole process will go where it goes.
Yeah, I think so. I can't. There's something you said that struck a chord that I can't think of right now, but it does feel like that. This sense of I know what it was. That it feels like what's so critical is to continue to pay attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because like I notice, for example, constantly being quote in conversation with the mentor has me occasionally sometimes recording this. Because it's almost like I'm either recording all the time or, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then watching that, and so consciously just recording just so.
Right.
You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. Because otherwise it feels like there's this, ooh, wishy-washy place where, oh, well, look at that. No, we haven't recorded in 6 months, you know?
Uh-huh.
So it feels like it's really, really critical. That's sort of why I think I haven't erased those things mm-hmm. on that whiteboard.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would be, feels like a movement in the other sort of, ooh, it never happened.
Yeah, and that wishy-washy places, oh boy,
ooh.
That that struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the paying attention, you're saying.
Yeah.
It's the paying attention is what really is required.
Yeah.
Because that's how we stay in alignment with life, obviously.
Yeah.
And none of this stuff, I mean, I was also kind of speculating earlier as you're talking that, you know, the making lists and the scoring, you know, life, that was a guidance from life that came.
Yeah. Yeah, because I did enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was perhaps appropriate to that time. And it may be appropriate again, you know.
Yeah.
Shortly or down the road or whatever. Yeah. But the paying attention gives you an avenue into kind of the fluidity of life as it goes. But there's a clarity in it. There's a real clear path in it that is different from the wishy-washy place. Because the wishy-washy place is just an opening for ego to come in and just sabotage everything.
Yeah. And it's interesting you say that because one of the things I noticed in conversation with a mentor recently is, I don't quite know how to say it, but the sense of the way that relationship is manifesting right now is probably also a stepping stone in some form.
That's it, stepping stone.
Because I suspect that it's a fairly, I don't know, constant isn't quite the right word, but ever-present conversation in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect at some point I won't need that in that same way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pleasure to have that relationship with it
instead
of now making this the thing that's going to save me.
Everything is final.
Yeah.
Instead of everything is on the way to
something. You know, it's like the decision to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Got it. You know, this is the thing that's going to, this is the end point. This is going to save me from now on.
Yeah, and that just seems so much how life is, too, because everything is constantly changing, moving, and growing. You know, you like to look at a tree, and it never stops.
Yeah.
Even as it's heading towards the end, it never stops. It's circular.
Yeah.
And that just seems so much like what you're saying, you know, kind of staying in that movement. So, and letting go, too, of where we're going, so that we can go wherever it is that we, that kind of our essence is taking us, you might say.
Yeah, and you know, one last thing, and then I'll stop talking about it, which is that I have all these, I mean, there's tons going on here on every level, so much, and so it just feels like there's so many different projects going, you know, across the board. And again, huge wide opening for this karma to like, okay, here's step one, okay, we're going to get up at this time, we're going to
get it all under control.
And honestly, I don't have any idea, like, when Saturday evening hits, I don't have any idea what I'm going to go do. But I just do all these things, and I realized, again, I don't know, several weeks ago, I set this intention with a mentor that, again, I didn't, like, follow through with, but it's completely been happening, which is that we can do anything. But the number one, the starting place, is to feel how we're going to feel when that thing is complete. And so what I realized is, as I'm doing all these projects, the entire time I'm having the experience of completion. Instead of the experience of, oh my God, when is this going to be done, and that's undone, and that's undone, and that's undone. It's like, energetically, they're all complete already. And so my experience of them is, it's a pleasure to work on them. And because it keeps happening, like, wow, before you know it, you're going to walk in and that's going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happens.
It just is, yeah. Boy, that's a good trick.
Even if it's months later, it feels like, wow, how did that happen so quickly?
And there's no reason, because there's no resistance in that.
Yeah.
There's nothing, because you've already got what you're starting with.
Yeah.
I mean, it has its practical benefit, too. I don't know if this has happened, but I would imagine that if you could feel how you want to feel when it's over with, then it's optional whether you did or not you actually do the thing.
Completely.
You know, it's the old, somebody used to talk about it all the time, about, like, you know, being off the property and really wanting something, like a cup of coffee or ice cream or something.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, I think I'll just have it in my imagination and just see if I really need to have the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just kind of bypasses it.
Yeah, that's serious practical application and really great, because then when life intervenes and there's some other plan, it's completely fine.
Yeah.
Because I already feel that way.
You already got what you're trying to get.
It's not like, oh, I'm thwarted from getting that, you know, whatever it was.
And then the other thing is, it becomes about the thing instead of about you or instead of about us.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about me and what I want to feel. It's because I really want to have a beautiful hermitage or whatever.
Exactly. It's such a good point. And it's kind of all service, in a way.
It's all service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was doing this thing recently where it was just completely self-serving on one level. Yeah. You know, it's a space for me, and no one else is going to. And yet, it felt like honoring the space, in a way. You know, it was like a nice thing to do. I don't know, somehow.
I love it. that's the best time having that experience, you know, Sunday mornings. Just, yeah. You know, just do stuff. You know, nobody's going to see it, but yeah. Nobody ever, I mean, it could be a disaster down there, and I'd be going, but I would see it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, like you say, it doesn't feel like it honors the, yeah. It honors the place.
Yeah.
You know, the being.
Because it's all, if it's all the Buddha, then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all the Buddha. Mm-hmm. Okay. See, Cameron.
Something that really struck me in that last sharing was that lot, you know, talking about if it shows up in life, then it's, but what I got in that is that life can show up coming out through me.
It doesn't have to be out there.
It doesn't, you know, that's what I think, you know, life is whatever, something's coming in, mm-hmm. And if it's a, you know, lately I've been getting books because the title just comes in and I just think, well, okay, I'll get it, you know, and I'll read it. And it's amazing how it has, everything that I have picked up in that form has really spoken to something that I was looking at.
It's kind of like this sort of God-given study course.
yeah, it's like, you know, Sherry used to say, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, and it might appear on the back of a cereal box, you know, and it might just say something that puts things together. And so I really appreciated considering that, because there have been some changes in how I'm approaching life that are very much against my karmic tendency to be really boxed in. And you know, one of them is that I don't have income coming in except a small Social Security thing. And so you know, in a way it's like it makes the karma nervous. mm-hmm. You know, it makes the karma nervous. And what I have, the intention that I have come up with, and it's part of our practice in the 300 for 1,000 and all that orientation to get in touch with what is the process of being lit up. Mm-hmm. And then finding a way for that to bring in some means mm-hmm. of support, some mm-hmm. right livelihood. Mm-hmm. And that's very different than my karmic orientation, which is I was raised in a way and it all stuck, you know, all that karmic in the beginning. Duty, responsibility, and you just go get a job and you work at it so you can take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. You
know? Not in line with life, just in alignment with kind of the socialized necessity that's put there.
Yeah, not only not in line with life, but I mean, you don't even think about if you like to do it. I mean, you know, you kind of want to get a job that, you know, you like, but I mean, it's not
like... That's a lot less important than the books.
You know, your responsibility is to take care of things and get, you know, and you know, I can remember getting messages, you know, that what I was, you know, fun just wasn't part of the mm-hmm. equation. Let's mm-hmm. put it that way. That's mm-hmm. probably the most basic way.
Forget lit up.
Oh, lit up, you know, whoever heard of it even, you know. but so that's, I've been kind of trying to go down that route, and yet the karma is so ingrained that it's hard to allow the being. I mean, it's like the being doesn't really know how to do that or how to mm-hmm. allow that to happen. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of going slowly, you know. Yeah.
But clearly the willingness is there for it.
There's a big willingness, you know, because if I'm not going to do it now, you know, it is just not going to happen. You know, there's not that many.
Now is the time.
Now is the time.
Yeah. You know, and I would bet you a lot of people would look at like the situation with your income as being a little box.
Yes.
That you're being forced into.
Yes.
But the attitude of mind I hear is not that at all. It's really an expansive opportunity.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be there maybe if it was just kind of raining dollars on you.
Yeah, or, well, I mean, it could rain dollars. You know, it's like the ice cream thing, you know. I could accept the ice cream if I didn't need it, you know. Mm-hmm.
Somebody in the refrigerator breaks down, they're handing out ice cream.
exactly. If I don't have to give up my soul to, you know what I mean? I think that's what I've been doing, is paying with my soul.
Giving up your soul.
Yeah, and even in opportunities where I'm working in a situation where that wouldn't be necessary, the karma
makes it necessary.
Makes it that way. So, I watched recently that I was just reading through this newspaper and I saw an advertisement for at a place where I thought it might be interesting. There were two different kinds of jobs, a part-time job and full-time job that they were advertising. And I thought, well, I don't want a full-time job right now because I want to be, my full-time is getting lit up.
Mm-hmm.
So a part-time job would maybe just be fine,
just
you
be
know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I went and talked to the people and full-time, this part-time job was just not, it just wasn't the right time and everything. So the only one that really I could consider was the full-time job. And the pay was really little. So I watched the karma try to talk me into accepting this because there were things about it, the place where it was, had elements of things that I really do like and really does light me up.
Mm-hmm.
It's around animals. Mm-hmm. That's one of my big, big light-ups. But what I was going to be doing wouldn't be so much with the animals as just being in the animal environment. It would be more of my karmic tendency to be. So I just watched how it was just trying to get me to do that because, you know, it would be some money, you know, it would have.
Well, it would be safe for that karma.
Exactly. And I ended up calling the woman who interviewed me and said, you know what, I am going to withdraw myself from consideration because, you know, I told her at the time I wanted part-time and I really didn't want full-time. And I said, I've really been looking at it and I just don't feel like I really want to do that and I don't want you to be thinking that I'm part of what you need to be considering. And it felt like choosing me,
mm-hmm.
not me, the
karmic you,
the karmic me, but choosing my heart and allowing myself to stay in the place that's not so safe economically, but honoring the intention to come from a different place.
Yeah, it would be selling your soul in a way to do it.
Yeah, it actually would, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it would, yeah. Because then that place that I've been in, feeling like I have to, you know, this huge swaths of my life are locked into a time thing, and then after I finish that, then there's all the stuff at home to do, and then it's kind of like the being and all the practice things are you know, the third thing on the list of three, you know, or something. So, it was really neat to make that choice, but it was also really neat to see the whole karmic situation, and feel that pull and see how that is really what has led me around by the nose.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a big learning experience.
Yeah, there's another place to live from.
Yeah, and I want to live it
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very powerful.
Yeah.
Okay. So, wait.
I'm hearing a lot of conversations trying to talk me out of sharing, so I'm going to do it.
So better get out there.
Get out there. I just want to say this: there's so much this morning that I just watched wanted to be turned into a to-do list. Like, oh yeah, oh, okay, yeah.
There
we
go.
Then I want to do all of that, you know, and get fixed.
That's funny, that was a throwaway line, but that was really significant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, is that the bottom of it?
Yeah, actually it is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And, yeah, still thinking there's something here that needs to, to get repaired. And,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Which really, it it's kind of... actually at the bottom of what I was going to share about you, and that's that we just finished a really, really wonderful retreat. And I got in touch with
a young part of myself, and much like what was talked about earlier, that has been wounded, and ego has just had so much resistance to doing the subpersonality work. It's just like,
argh. You can see why.
Huh? I don't want to do that stuff, you know? And yet I feel like I've just really connected with this young part in a way that really made it apparent that I don't want to leave her locked away anymore. Do not want to do that. I can see the how unkind that is. It's not what I want for her. And I think that, you know, and then what's arising is that I'm gonna get fixed somehow if I you know, do the right thing with this. With this subpersonality.
Is that her experience? In the sense of, I mean, is that coming from her? Does it feel like it?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
She doesn't feel like she needs to be fixed.
No, I don't get that from her at all. Mm-hmm. You know.
There's somebody else.
Someone else is coming in.
If I do this right,
right.
There's something wrong with me, he's implying that. Yeah. I'll be fixed.
Yeah, yeah. And then I have to do this. There's some way to do this right, and you know, and I'm just bringing it up because, you know, it's already coming in with, oh yeah, this is great right now, and but you know, it's gonna lose this connection,
right?
And
so what would you say is true about it?
Well, what I can see is true about it is that it's really a joyful thing to be with that young part.
Mm-hmm. Even to see her, I bet.
Even to see her, which was just such a, you know, I've heard this said over and over again that it's always, it's never the painful thing that ego would tell it is to go to find this wounded part, that it's actually a joyful thing.
It's joyful.
Mm-hmm. And that was my experience, like just to even see her and name it, and then just this joy came up for doing, you know, for being in that relationship with that aspect.
In a way, we might say that's kind of what we're all wanting, isn't it? To be in that relationship.
Yeah. It's just so interesting. You know, it's just the antithesis of what, you know, the voice in my head would tell me was where I was going to find that kind of joy.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with doing it right, does it?
No.
Or getting it right, or a particular thing happening?
No, as you say that, I can see it's definitely not about making her right, you know? It's not about...
She's already right.
She is already right.
In a different way, not in a right wrong kind of way, but she's, I'm betting, perfect, just as she is.
Yeah, you know, that. I'm just talking and I can just see how abusive that would be to... and take her into being, it's the same, it's just the opposite in the continuum where she is.
Yeah.
You know, where I found her.
So. Yeah, boy, that's creepy too, because I could see how easy it would be for ego to slide into this opening and do that.
Yeah.
So instead of it being a compassionate connection that has no need for her to change or be different than what she is at all, and a complete acceptance, and not projecting, of who she is, and kind of the compassion that arises in response to that, to having it become conditional, and this little, just a little off-center enough that it's traumatizing instead of healing.
Yeah. Wow. That's another good reminder that just to be here and to be present is what's required.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can see how that might just slip in if I just took my attention away, out of the present and being with her.
And it probably will, you know, just because that's the nature of karma. But that's okay too, isn't it? I mean, that's, in a way, it's funny because in a way she's okay. I mean, I don't know, I'm just projecting from my own experience of it, but, you know, that has to be a part of what's okay too, that sometimes that will happen, you know, because that's how we get to where we're going. That's probably how, I don't know if you'd say this, but I certainly would say for me, that's how I've gotten to where I am, kind of in relationship to what you're saying.
Yeah, and as you say that, you know, I can just feel the openness with that and the relaxation with that, you know, that is just bringing it all in to, you know, acceptance and, you know, rather than it becoming, it has to be, you know,
it has to be a certain way,
and then there we are off again.
Yeah, so even kind of attempting to do that as the compassionate being could be taken over into having to do it in a certain way.
Yeah.
But even there,
yeah,
it's all open. It's all totally good.
Yeah. So that's great. That's really great to be reminded of that because that feels like it's, you know, that brings me back to where the relationship started and where, you know.
And I really get the sense that, you know, that she's okay. And I mean, there may be somebody right next to her, you know, like in front of her, that's involved in the karma and suffering, but it seems like she's kind of over here. And then there's all this kind of conditioned mess, you know, all the trauma that happens. And over here, there's the compassionate being. And, you know, the original person, you know, she's completely okay, always has been. And it has nothing to do with this, really.
Mm-hmm.
Same with that compassionate being. Really has nothing to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
This is all just happening in between, and we've got to get drawn into it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, whatever trauma is going to happen, I don't know, I have to look at this and see, but it seems to me right now that that's not going to happen to the original being.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen to the one who survived it right afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And that person is used to it happening. I mean, that's happening all the time for that person.
Would you say, I'm not sure that the last part that you just, the trauma is not going to happen to the original being. We're talking about the person that had the original wounding or the subpersonal.
Well, I'm kind of off on a limb here, but
yeah.
I'll tell you my experience of it. That you know, the one inside who is wounded is the doorway to that which is came before that,
okay.
Which has never been touched.
Uh-huh.
It's just that we've gotten, you know, so the innocence is there, the trauma happens, and then there's a survivor after that. And from then on, we always start after the survivor.
Mm-hmm.
But what was there, you know, it was never touched by any of it. It's still there. And so, you know, that's, to me, that's what this work of, you know, the compassionate being and, you know, embracing these parts of ourselves is all about. It's not so much about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's about reuniting with that which is what is.
Okay.
And has never been touched ever by any of it.
I keep getting this image. I don't know if you remember, but in a retreat, I think we did that. We worked that out visually in the room.
Oh.
We had the up
almost
and yeah and then they had all the stuff in between and we were trying to be in conversation with the,
but everything was getting in the way.
So anyway, so that's helpful.
I
forgot about that, but.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, it's all an illusion, you know? Anyway,
okay.
That's
okay. Well, great. So I just have this wonderful, sweet relationship right now, and
just the best.
It's the best, and I'm just really grateful. Just really grateful to have her here and just be loving her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's one of those, yay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll feel next, and Amy, I saw you too. So.
Well, I really enjoy these conversations and find them, and just really grateful. What I was dropping in during them was what I've been practicing is being my the relaxing place that I'm finding and is being in that there's, I don't know, and there's nothing wrong with anything. Just coming back to that place all the time.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, and there's nothing wrong with anything.
Yeah, because those are the two places that the karma tries to stir things up.
I just have to feel sorry. Alice, can I ask for a favor?
Sure.
There's some kind of critter trapped over here. Oh, there it is. It's stuck in the bowl. Would you mind? Just make this a gravel rat trying to get out.
Oh, sure.
Sorry about that, Phil.
Oh, no, that's good. Save somebody.
I'll do some good while we're sitting here.
Yeah. So anyhow, just that's to me that middle place where there's nothing wrong with anything, and I don't know, and I can't know.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was noticing during, what dropped in during this conversation is that this being, whoever this person is, have two really strong, strong traps, you know, that operate.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is this person that really loves organization, prays organization, feels that they're fine with organization. Maybe the check off the list type mm-hmm. person. And they're constantly looking for better organization.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this other person who really could care less about organization. And has no edges, you know, in that the kind of
kind of that mushy place or those still being talked about?
Yeah, just, you know, really easy going and could not exact like if to keep the way this person keeps the schedule is doesn't matter what time it is. Mm-hmm. You know,
what schedule?
It's a schedule.
Oh, it's a schedule.
Yeah.
Okay.
We do this and then we do that next thing, and then we do the next thing and the next thing. You know, like that. This one would want things to be in certain time frame.
Mm-hmm.
But what I saw is that there's absolutely nothing wrong with either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is there's a way conditioning, or they've been conditioned each to think they're wrong, or there's something that comes in and makes each one wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so the place of organization is the writer place. It's much writer. And there's a part that feels really comfortable when all that's there.
Mm-hmm. Being the right person.
Yeah, well, and
in control.
There's a control, mm-hmm. there's a, you know, a knowing, mm-hmm. all that's in quotes. And, but the reason this person feels fine over here is they don't even care or can't even remember what's on the list or what to do or where mm-hmm. the list is or, you know, like that.
So maybe sometimes it's appropriate and helpful for the list maker to be there. Maybe other times it's appropriate and helpful for the other person to be there.
That's the way I think life works with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's the conditioned notion that this is a better place, this mm-hmm. is not
and
a
there's
good
one
place.
Way.
There's one way.
There's one way, it has to be all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of life being kind of fluid, and we have lots of different ways of being with life, and we can respond to life with whatever's appropriate.
Yeah. And there's been some movement because earlier in my life, these two did not like each other and did not get along at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now they actually are very compatible. It's this other piece of conditioning that stirs things up. When the organized ones, conditioning will set standards for that one, and it'll never be organized enough for that part of the conditioning. One that's easygoing conditioning will say that one's lazy and slipshod and this and that. And so it's interesting because it can make conditioning can make both parts uncomfortable, mm-hmm. when actually the being enjoys both parts, mm-hmm. when, as you're pointing out, life brings the one up, mm-hmm. that's...
When life is choosing it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, it makes sense, because why else would we have these different capacities?
Exactly.
Except unless they're useful. I mean, that's the way everything happens in nature. Yeah. You know, nothing ever has anything unless it's useful to what it's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think now that we're looking at this, that's what has spurred me into the practice of I don't know and there's nothing wrong with anything, because that's the only place that can contain both those mm-hmm. beings and have them just have their life experience.
It's the only place too where life can make the choices.
And life can make the choices, mm-hmm. yeah. And that is, it's just such a relaxing thing. Well, I don't know, let's see what's next. I don't know, let's see mm-hmm. what's next. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, there is in a daily recollection, as far as I can tell at this point, and maybe I'm still, hanging on to the raft, but that there's the right effort to guide both these folks into continuing the balance that life has for them, and I think that's where the role of the mentor is, and the role of awareness is to make sure one doesn't go off and take over. Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems like there has to be a framework. It's all happening inside.
Yeah.
So sometimes the framework is the schedule. Here, of course, that's the framework, or kind of the acknowledged intention that we're all sort of operating under, the privileged environment.
Right.
Sometimes the container or whatever, the structure,
the framework
is paying attention.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and at home, a lot of it is determined by even what day it is.
Mm-hmm.
Say on Saturday,
But
if the deadline to be at work is a certain time,
we need somebody who can do that.
Yeah, or even if there, even on a day that the maybe the work isn't a certain time, maybe it can be moved a little bit later, mm-hmm. for whatever reasons. Then it might the thing might spread out.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there still is some, and I don't know if it's some conditioning watchdog or the mentor not letting things, particularly on, let's say, the schedule, not letting things seep in that would then at the end say, oh my God, now I have to mm-hmm. hurry, that one more thing I can do.
Yeah, to kind of mess up the whole, just being in line with what's going on.
So anyhow, it's I'm really happy for this conversation because that kind of brought a lot of that.
Yeah,
put a framework for it.
Amy.
I've been looking at self-personalities mm-hmm. recently, it's been interesting to keep stepping back and for instance, recently did an exercise, getting in touch with a small person, and then I shared about that, and then I observed the one who shared about it, and saw a lot about that.
About that person.
that there was this. And looking at this small person, that it evoked this sadness and sort of like an assessment that wasn't really, it was sort of subtle. It was there must be some trauma that needs to be discovered and fixed,
uh-huh.
And so like like, here's this small person, but something needs to be done about her.
Yeah, and it's up to me to do it, mm-hmm. says that subpersonality.
Yeah, and then in spending time with her, my experience was that she was just sweet and lovely, and the things that she wanted were not let's see how to say it. I think there was a story that to interact with her would just somehow be painful, and mm-hmm. that's not the experience at all.
It's not your experience at all. Also, it sounds like it's not your experience that she needs to be fixed.
Mm-hmm. That's just it's so good to see, and there's like what a relief.
What a relief.
There's not some kind of like figuring something out that needs to happen.
Thank God for that, huh?
Yeah.
It's all okay, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
feeling grateful, it sounds like,
yeah.
to be in touch with her,
yeah. mm-hmm.
without needing to fix her or to have to figure her out or mm-hmm. any of that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. but just to be with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.